lawyers out there today that are worried about AI and they think that it's going to take their job away, what would you say to them?
It gradually will.
It's time to reclaim control, not just of your law firm, but of your life. Welcome to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. Discover how early adopters are leveraging cutting-edge legal tech and early adoption strategies to lead the industry while embracing work-life balance. Unlock the secrets to a thriving law practice and a balanced, happy life with the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
All right, Sam. So what are some of the biggest pain points that law firms are coming to you with today?
It all starts off with signing up clients. So in marketing, there's, I look at it as two sides. The first side is generating leads. Second part is signing them up. So the first one in my world that I've been exposed to is relatively easy, especially if you know what you're doing, you're at the right channels, you're working either with the right vendors, or maybe your own or your own team who's doing it. For me, I focus on a lot of social media ads, a lot of Facebook ads, TikTok ads, YouTube ads, and Google ads. So that's where the leads come from. At that stage, I'm looking to qualify the leads. Once they're qualified, then the second part kicks in, which is signing them up. For that, it comes down to our dedicated virtual intakers. These are people in-house, not a virtual receptionist service, but in-house. What I mean by in-house is somebody on your team who's not necessarily sitting in an office, but they're sitting somewhere virtually, usually overseas, who knows how to further qualify. And if they qualify, get them signed up. No legal talk, no sales talk, just directly just about qualifying and signing them up. So the way when it comes to AI, it's that second part that could really help, which is number one, AI that could get in contact with your leads. Second is qualifying. And third is getting them nurtured and passing them off to be signed up. So when it comes to responsiveness, well, if you can have AI either taking on the calls or having AI right away texting the lead as soon as they come in, your responsiveness shoots through the roof because that's done immediately with AI without needing to depend on your intakers to be able to do that. Yes, you still want to have a good dedicated intake team that's still, you know, is right away on the lead right away. But if you have something that's automated, obviously that's going to be a lot more foolproof. Second part, if you have AI that's able to communicate with your lead right away and is able to optimize the qualification questions, what we do is we have, you know, leads come in and we look to see how to qualify better. You know, what type of leads are the most unqualified? So we know exactly how to ask those qualification questions upfront to either qualify or unqualify them right away. And what we do is we optimize those questions. It's usually a set of three or four questions. From those very specific three or four questions, we're going to pretty much qualify 80% of the leads. And if they qualify, then either our intake team takes over or we have our AI step in and to book calls with our dedicated virtual intakers. And that's currently what we have right now. We have AI doing this for three of our law firms. And it's working out well. It took a couple of months to understand the nuances of, you know, how quickly they should contact the lead, you know, what qualification questions we should ask, how we should answer the top questions and objections. Once we sorted that out, we got a very good result for getting AI to be able to qualify and book appointments of our qualified prospects into our dedicated virtual intakes team's calendars. And that's what's working best. Pretty much qualifying, getting leads signed up.
I love that answer because, you know, you basically said you're helping firms with case generation and growth, but you didn't say anything about marketing. It was all about people, process, and technology from an intake perspective. And I think this is where a lot of firms miss the mark, is that they think they have a marketing problem, but their problems run even deeper than that. There's problems with the way that they're handling calls. There's problems with the way that they're prioritizing leads. So I think, you know, based on your response, I want to kind of turn it into a follow-up question. How are you helping firms transition from more traditional referral-based models to helping them automate and systematize their growth?
Well, first of all, if your law firm just depends on referrals, you have a pretty dependent law firm that's kind of inconsistent, again, very codependent, and it's a very risky place to be. So until you build your own internal client generation system with your own system that you own, without you necessarily depending on any referrals, that's where it's at. So we need to make sure we build that out first. Second is you need to make sure that it's dependable and predictable. So I don't, you know, anything that I do, I want to make sure that it's scalable. Sure, there's a lot of things that I could do that could generate clients. Let's just say I could go sponsor some organizations. I could do some local marketing, or I could even do what a lot of people do, which is boost some Instagram posts, which is, I think, like, you know, have a rule of thumb. If it's the easier it is, the less likely it is to be scalable. Instead, I go to platforms that have big market. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time on their phone. Well, you want to be where that is. And, you know, you could basically use ads to get yourself in front of there. Huge market, scalable, and very finely tuned, trackable to the penny. Well, to the penny. We know exactly how many cents are we spending per day, how many leads are we generating, how many qualified leads we're generating, and how many clients we're generating on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And once you have that clarity about what's going on from each source, what's the cost per qualified lead, and what's the cost per acquisition from each one of your sources, that's when marketing becomes relatively very easy. And that's how I was able to grow my marketing budget from $1,000 a month to now over $1 million a month in ads, just because I'm able to track that to the dollar and know exactly where it's coming from. And now at this point, it's just all numbers. You know, our entire team just talks in numbers. You know, I don't care who you are, what you are, what we do. You're doing this. I want to know, you know, how many clients are you generating for us, and what's the cost position? You speak in those terms, and then marketing just really becomes easy from that point on.
Agreed. And to our listeners, you know, the importance here of starting by tracking your data is paramount. If you can't measure it, you can't improve it. This, again, is another thing that, I don't know, Sam, you speak with a lot of firms. It's a thing that I commonly see when I'm having initial conversations with firms, and I ask simple questions like, how many cases are you opening per month? What is that breakdown by marketing source? What's your conversion rate by intake agent? Things like that. And I'm still shocked by how few firms are actually taking ownership of their data. What metrics or tools are you commonly recommending that firms use to supercharge their data, leverage their data to grow their practices?
So I kind of mentioned the main KPIs that we really look for. Foremost, we look at how much do we spend, how many leads do we generate, what's the cost per lead, how many qualified leads, cost per qualified lead, signups, cost per acquisition, and then ROI. That we need to know on a daily, monthly, weekly, and monthly basis for every single source that we're doing this for, what that is. So that's a baseline KPI. Ultimately, the only number that really matters is cost per acquisition, essentially. Once we have that, then it's just, you know, it's just about making sure that you're investing enough to make sure you're at least making a 200%, 300% ROI on your money. Regarding to how do you track, a lot of people, I think the reason why they don't track is they just don't know how to track. Well, you need to have a rule of thumb that every time a lead comes in from anywhere, you need to know the source of it. Some of this you can automate. You know, let's just say if you're running Facebook ads or Google ads, make sure, let's just say you have a landing page. Every time a lead is submitted, well, it's being added to a Google Sheet. How do you set that up? Automation tools like Make or Zapier, where every time a lead comes in, it's automatically going to add it to your Google Sheet or to your CRM. And also you need a phone tracking service like CallRail, so we'll be able to know, be able to go backtrack, you know, to say this month, how many calls did I get from this marketing campaign? Once you have those metrics, then you want to be able to backtrack basically, ideally in your CRM, you know, of these 10 leads that came in, how many of them were qualified? And what we do is we use HubSpot. So leads automatically, it's all integrated coming to our HubSpot. Then we have two criteria for qualified. We have a kind of like a marketing qualified, which is based on the questions and the answers that we got. It's basically, you know, based on how the questions were answered, then we can mark them as qualified or not. And then we also have a second layer of qualified, which is our intakers that are doing further qualification and are able to update those statuses. And so we could see, you know, how many of those are qualified. And then obviously the third is, when it wants to get signed up, people want to also want to know that they were signed up. If so, then we want to backtrack the sources. And all that leads to the ideal place is, you know, you want that data to come into a live dashboard. And that dashboard needs to be fed back to your media buyer, the person who's running your campaigns. So they know this campaign that they ran, you know, this ad set and or this ad generated 6 clients, this one generated 10. So they could be able to evaluate the cost requisitions and they're able to adjust or increase the marketing budgets based on that. That's the short gist of it. It takes time. It takes months and years. But at the very least, you know, a lot of times I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, when they can't do it, that usually that's a sign that someone else should. So that's where you hire a team or someone who can come in and set this up for you little by little until you get clear on your numbers.
That's fantastic. And you know, I think a lot of not just firms, but marketers in general will sometimes confuse tracking for attribution. How are you handling attribution? Because it's obviously from, if you're running like a meta ad, right, an ad on Facebook and someone clicks on it and comes in and starts talking with a member of your intake team, it's very easy to attribute that last touch point to, you know, the ultimate, you know, qualified leader case that is opened. Are you also asking questions about how prospective clients or actual clients heard about any of your law firms? And if so, how are you using that data to inform decision-making around budgeting, tactics, so on and so forth?
So what we do, we have a rule of thumb that every lead that's generated, we have certain source properties that needs to be filled out. So the first one is source traffic. Basically, from what traffic source is that, whether it be that be Google, Meta, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, or referral, or whatever that is. Then we have source campaign, source ad set, and source ad. We also have source language. We also have source vendor. And then we also got really fancy in the last couple of months is we're looking at Meta IDs, which is basically every lead that's generated has unique parameters. We want to be able to, you know, once a client is qualified or once a client is signed up, we want that data to go right back into Facebook and Google to be able to tell the AI algorithm, hey, this is actually these set of 10 clients that you got came from these ad sets. So let's get more of these. That's pretty much what we do. And then that's kind of quantitative. And then qualitative sources is, yes, you could also have your intakers asking. But for the most part, we know that we're generating sources, just to say, from 4 or 5 sources. And then from each source, we backtrack the source traffic. We could tell a very high level where that's coming from. And again, that feeds into a live dashboard so we can see for every single client that we signed up exactly where they came from.
Yep. Yeah, I think that the tracking tends to be more important for digital marketing investments. However, what you call the qualitative questions tend to be more important for firms that are investing in traditional marketing channels like TV, radio, billboard, print, so on and so forth.
And that's why I love digital way more than traditional. For some PI law firms, you know, just trying to beat out the market and just try to buy out as many of the billboards as possible and just kind of have a wholesome kind of budgeting. I'm spending $1 million a month. And at the end of the day, I'm making $3 million. That's all good with me. Versus somebody who's digital is able to optimize very specifically based on the campaigns, ad sets, the messagings, you know, the hooks and things like that. And your dollar usually goes further when you're able to optimize on, you know, a lot more critically based on the different messages and hooks. I kind of like a little bit more trackable. That's why I love digital, just so much more concrete.
I want to shift the conversation to, you know, we're talking about AI. What AI strategies or tactics are you most bullish on in 2025 in a legal marketing or just general law firm context?
Most firms rely on referrals and long hours. My Legal Academy helps lawyers build a predictable pipeline, fix intake, and close more clients. That's how attorneys grow their firms and get their most valuable resources back, time. Book a call with us to start your growth journey at schedule.com. schedule.mylegalacademy.com. Again, that's schedule.mylegalacademy.com. I could share with you our best AI case study. About 6 months ago, we signed up 500 clients a month for one of our law firms. And we had 25 intakers who signed up those 500 clients, which is pretty good. Still, it took us about 2.5 years to get there. A lot of hiring, firing until we get to those 25 intakers. And then lo and behold, last month we hit 500 clients generated again, which is, I believe, our third time doing it. And our director called out, "Hey, guys, you won't believe it. Last time that we signed up 500 clients, we had 25 intakers. This time we have 12 intakers who signed up those 500 intakers, those 500 signups." So what we did was, one is we got, as we brought AI, intake AI solutions into the picture, we were able to, again, have better responsiveness, better qualification, better, more qualified leads booked into our calendar. So everybody got, their time got more optimized. They weren't wasting any time with any unqualified leads. You know, the responsiveness, a lot of that work, you know, was able to be picked up by AI. And then also made our team efficient. So, you know, out of that 20, we were able to narrow it down to the 12 best intakers. So over time, you know, now we have like the best of the best intakers who are signing up the clients, which usually means obviously less overhead, less management, less headaches, less HR issues, less issues overall. And it's just a lot more efficient way. So I would say if AI could solve any problem, the biggest problem to solve is signing up clients. That's what I think I realized early on. Also 2.5 years ago, when ChatGPT came out in late 2022, I believe. My first thought was, how can AI be applied to law firms? I didn't know. So I started kind of exploring around. I asked a couple of poll questions inside of my community. A bunch of people gave ideas. And then I realized from all the options that people gave, I realized signing up clients is probably the biggest pain point and bottleneck that people can solve the most with AI. So that's where I focused my attention to. And I learned a lot from that process. And it's still, I would say, still got a couple of more years to go. It hasn't been fully solved yet. I think we have at least 2 more years to be able to solve it. But the firms that are able to solve their client signups with AI are the ones that are going to generate the most clients and generate the most revenue. And they're able to scale up their marketing even faster. So those are the first winners. And then second is, it comes down to the operations. You know, for AI to come help to collect documents, collect the remaining information that you need from your clients, that I would say is the second most. And then once you get that information, the third component, which is be able to start the legal work, start drafting stuff. So a lot of these, you know, demand writing services, AI services and things like that, that's where I think AI is going to disrupt. So to summarize it, signing them up. Number two, you know, onboarding your new clients. And number three, start the drafting kind of process.
That's amazing. So you were essentially, you set a new record, but you did that record with half the staff. What specifically, where did you infuse AI into the process? It sounds like there was some pre-qualification element to this. Were you making leads go through some type of user experience where it's like a form they were filling out? Were you using AI like in an IVR type of capacity to pre-qualify leads on the phone? Can you talk specifically about what additions you made?
Two forms of communication for the most part. I would say 70 to 80% of it is via text, essentially.
Yeah.
But we realized the trend has been the last couple of years, people don't like talking on the phone. At the very least, the first layer is getting contact with them via text, so they're responsive via text. So that's, you know, that's where AI is kind of playing around. And the rest where AI picks up your Slack, which is, you know, whenever your team is either busy on the phone or during hours where your team is not picking up the phone, kind of picking up the Slack on the incoming calls that are coming in. We're not using AI to make any calls yet. I feel like the leads are too valuable for you to just hand it off to your team. But if they can assist and supplement your existing systems, I think that's good enough for now. But you never know where we're going to go to. But at least the level that I see right now is, for the most part, text. If not, it'll be incoming calls to schedule or direct the caller to a live agent.
So it's essentially helping the most right now with establishing initial contact and then also follow up to some extent. Is that fair?
The texting helps with the follow ups as well, which is great. Again, you don't need to have a dependency. You don't need to force your integrity to do that. You know, once you set up the AI to say, I need you to follow up 2 times for the first couple of days, then it's automatically going to do that.
One way that we're starting to use it within our agency is to better assess the leads. So we use call tracking solutions just like you. We're fans of CallRail. If you can ensure that every call is being recorded, at least every call that's being generated by marketing, that data is being stored somewhere, you can take that, you can pull the transcript, you can upload it into an agent and essentially kind of grade calls and lead score calls. Are you doing anything similar on your end?
We are. We're using Alibur for some phone service, and Alibur has a native kind of call scoring analysis, which I think is super valuable. And we realized this about a year ago in employment law. A certain type of employment law cases, just like most practice types, are really high value.
Yep.
And we wanted to see if whether, you know, instead of depending on our integrators to be able to qualify for that, can we have AI be able to analyze the calls to say, hey, there might be a possible class action here. And it's able to add a class action, you know, flag to the call. And maybe those we could give more attention to it or go have someone listen to the calls and see if there really is something there. And then be able to take that and, you know, run it to the bank. I think that's crucial. I think everybody, you know, in any market, you're going to have a certain percentage, percentage of the market of your calls, of your prospects that are going to be your highest value clients. And that's where you really find the gold mines. And what better place for AI to help than that?
Agreed. So, you know, we basically just hit on some key points here. AI has a lot of applications in terms of saving your intakers time and ensuring that they're spending a greater proportion of their time on qualified leads. There are quality assurance and reporting benefits to using AI as well to ensure that your team isn't missing out on potential cases. You probably could also use it to grade the efficacy of each member of your intake team, how they're handling calls. Are they deploying empathy on the call? Are they following script zone and so forth? So that's awesome. What are you bearish on from a AI perspective in a legal marketing or legal intake context?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Zero. Because the mindset, as soon as I focus in on that, then I lose out on a lot of opportunities. My take is kind of Silicon Valley background, even though I was never worked in Silicon Valley, but just from learning and studying it. The mindset is anything is possible. Everything is possible. It's just a matter of figuring it out. So that's for everything, I always look for the ideal or the first principles kind of solution. You know, if I not limited by anything with any tool, how would this look like? And then I build up to that ideal thing. And yes, of course, I have to work through the nuances. There's always nuances to everything that you build. But my mindset is always, it's possible. Now that it's possible, that I accept that it's possible, how are we going to do it? And I'm just going to be constantly resilient until I solve that problem. So at this point, nope. I already accepted that AI can do anything and everything. And the full vision, I think, you know, looking out a couple of years, is to have a fully autonomous law firm. Completely. I think we have a couple of law firms that are that we're implementing AI the most. And I could definitely see the light in the tunnel, little by little. Having the, you know, we want to focus on each department at a time, just like I kind of addressed those three. We're kind of taking that approach to it. But the ultimate probably 2 or 3 year goal is, can we get AI to be able to sign up the client, be able to collect all the information, start the filings. Maybe at most you have a reviewer right before it gets filed or whatever that is. The lawyer does their due diligence to make sure everything is good and then it's sent it off and that's it. So yeah. Bo, I'm going to add one more, just one framework to this. And I started sharing this a couple of months ago, but I want to instill into your audience. I think growth comes down to frameworks, kind of having these big, very macro rules for yourself. And then you make decisions based on these frameworks. One framework that I've been sharing recently is to have an unlimited AI budget. Unlimited AI budget. There's certain things in life and in business that you should have, that you should kind of be a little bit more open to spending more. Obviously, when it comes to business and growth, that's where you want to be a little bit more, you know, open. But when it comes to tools and SaaS and AI, you should have no limitation when it comes to your budget, because the upside is way more than you think. Not everything has to go well. Not every spend that you spend on AI is going to go well. But when one of them does, then that's where you probably get a 50, 100x, which makes up for everything else and some. So if in order for you to get lucky, give yourself the best chance to be able to hit those 50x, 100x returns, then you want to have an unlimited AI budget to any service provider, any tool. Doesn't matter who you are, specialist, who contractor, whatever you want, in-house, whatever that is, come on in. Let's see what you got. I've been leaning into this framework, and I've been seeing the positive stuff that comes out of it. And I just want to pass it off to your audience as well.
Well, thank you for that. And that's a perfect segue to the next question, which is, what AI tools are you recommending? And I guess another way to rephrase the question, you just told all of our listeners, have a line item on your P&L for AI budget, have some allocation of your budget be set aside for AI. Sam, what tools, platforms are included in that line item?
So we white labeled Go High Level, which is a very popular CRM tool. If you don't have a CRM, if you have a CRM, by all means, amazing, go at it. See if you can bring AI into it. If you don't have a CRM, then probably your best chance would be an easy CRM that you can implement. So we went and white labeled this very popular CRM called Go High Level. We call it Legal Funnel, and we utilize Go High Level's AI solutions to be able to onboard and help law firm owners, bring AI into their law firm. So that's one practical one. Second is Charlie AI. Just look into that. And third is Grok. Grok over ChatGPT. I've been a big proponent and big user of ChatGPT over the last couple of years. But when Grok 3 came out just 3 or 4 months ago, started utilizing and comparing it to ChatGPT. And now I spend 80 to 90% of my time on Grok versus ChatGPT, which for a power user, that says a lot. I've been sharing it once the light bulb went off for me that it's better. I've been sharing it, and now I've gotten the feedback that yes, it is. So if you're a ChatGPT power user, look into Grok.
I know that you've spoken a lot about this in your social media posts about Grok over ChatGPT. Can you tell our listeners what, from your perspective, are the fundamental benefits of Grok over ChatGPT?
Number one, the think feature, and number two, the deep search. And when it comes to, if you have a big business decision to make, like what market should I explore, what practice type should I explore, this kind of very big, decisions that you have to make, I don't think you'll find a better tool than Grok's deep search to help you make that decision. What I've been doing both the last couple months is, there has been no question that's came to my mind in the past couple months that I haven't went in and dropped it off into Grok using the think feature or the deep search research. And again, these are big things that I'm really, really, trying to really learn and get really deep on. I throw it in, and I'm not going to just go and read it. What I do is I go print it out. Then in one sitting, I actually just did that this morning. I want the actual thing in my hands so I could sit there, and when my computer's closed, when I can think about the answer, I study it. I study the answers. So I made so many financial decisions recently, so many business and law firm decisions, where I should scale to, how should I expand my market, how can I solve issues with operations or team members or whatever that is, just from, doing this kind of Grok deep search analysis that I print out, that I study, that I meditate on. And let me share some pretty cool insight that I came up with. The gist of it is, using Grok's analysis, I was able to pay off me and my wife's school loans completely with credit card points. And I would have never came up with that genius idea unless it was for Grok to give me that analysis. These things that are kind of completely outside the box. Whenever I want an answer, I always ask for the top three or the top five, options. And I would say, then rank it by the best to the least. and then give me the pros and cons and then make your final recommendations. And yes, you know, from that, what I do is I get the clear answer, which is number one, but I also see things that are, you know, that are outside the box. Oh, there was something here that was mentioned for number three that I wasn't even thinking about. It's actually pretty smart, even though that wasn't the answer I was looking for, but there might be something here. And then I take the number three and I explore deeper and then now find a new venue for new client sources or something like that. So again, expanding your mind with AI. And I've also noticed, bro, and I'm working a lot less now that I've, you know, that I'm using, the more that I use Grok and ChatGPT, that I work less and less over time because I'm not spending as much time researching. I'm not spending as much time planning. I'm not spending much time sitting on my decisions. Everything is like, I just come up with it. If I'm in doubt, I confirm it. And then I make decisive decisions and decisive actions to be able to move things forward.
I think you're a little bit ahead of the curve on me in terms of AI adoption. I'm still using ChatGPT, mind you, the pro version or the professional version, whichever one you pay $200 a month for. But I am in a similar boat as you now, where there's not a single thing I do today that's not being influenced somehow by AI. And we literally just had a client the other week. They went through an acquisition and they were asking us for, you know, a checklist, a playbook of, hey, these are like, we acquired this brand, we acquired this firm. We need like a step-by-step of all the things we need to consider. And, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, we would sit down, we'd have like a team meeting, we'd come up with this itemized list of here's everything we need from this client to ensure that there's a successful acquisition and we get the right strategy in place for this new firm. But I started by putting all of the context and information into ChatGPT and said, I have a client, they just acquired a brand, here are all the parameters, here's what I'm looking for. And in a matter of minutes, it just gave 95% of what we needed. Obviously, we needed to put our final spin on it, but it's just amazing. And I'm in the same boat too, where I feel like I'm still working the same, I'll be honest, but I'm getting so much more done. And all this leads to my question for lawyers out there today that are worried about AI and they think that it's going to take their job away. What would you say to them?
It gradually will. If you're doing the same thing that you were doing before, it gradually will. So that's a call to action for you to learn and apply AI as much as possible so you could ride the wave along with it. You want to be a user of it so you could take advantage of it instead of being wiped away from it. I definitely see it. I've already accepted it. A lot of jobs, Uber drivers, you know, creative designers, copywriters. I'm a heavy user of contractors. And over the last couple of years, I could just list out all the different types of contractors I was hiring versus now, you know, I have much less dependency on contractors when I could just leverage AI, or now I have my team is more AI enabled. So I have one graphic designer who uses AI. I have one video editor who uses AI. I have one researcher who uses AI versus having, you know, a team of people doing it. No, it's real. It's just, you know, it's not a bad thing, again, because it's just meant as a call to action for you to be able to bring this into your practice and use it on a day-to-day basis. And see, and also encourage it across your team. A lot of people, I think, also have this thing is like, I don't want my team to start, I don't know, some weird stuff. Also used to feel that a little bit in the beginning. I'm like, do I want my team to be able to use these things? And the answer is yes, you do. Because the more your team is able to get smarter with using AI, you know, the smarter they'll be, the more efficient they'll be, and all the good benefits. So you want you and your entire team to use it as much as possible, encourage it, incentivize towards it, and that's where you see really good progress.
Is there anything else you would tell a law firm that wants to future-proof themselves from AI disruption?
Yeah, I'll give my framework of how I use AI the most and how I use ChatGPT and Grok the most. Ultimately, I think it comes down to the winning framework, whatever winning framework means to you. So let's just say there is a law firm that you really see that they know what they're doing, or there is a video that you really like. So basically a piece of something that you know is a winning framework. What you want to do, get the transcription of that, get the details of that, whatever that is, using AI. So you ask about it, or you have AI to, you know, analyze it. And then you take your own data, which is, you know, the nuances of the types of clients that you usually get. Who are they? What are their pain points? You know, what solution do you offer? This is essentially your data, whatever personalized information that you have. And you merge that data with the winning framework, and that becomes the AI driven, you know, new creative that becomes what you create. So winning framework plus your own data equals magic.
Do you have any predictions for how AI will change the legal industry in the next 5 to 10 years? Consider this something that you can come back and look at in 2035 and gauge, was I right or wrong? Like, what are your big predictions, let's say, for the next 5 to 10 years?
A lot of interactions with your prospects and clients will be done with via AI. The same way that, you know, in the beginning, your Amazon, I mean, where you would communicate with Amazon, right? You would talk to a human, you have to wait for a human, versus the last couple of years, it's been a while, I think we haven't even realized it, it's AI was able to understand that, hey, out of 100 users, are you, you know, usually 90% of our users come in for these three issues. So AI is able to even just give you the options that you're able to pick from that, you know, these trees that are created, to be able to just with a press of a button for you to be able to let into a funnel where you're able to be able to either be signed up or be able to for your clients to get status updates or get instructions for when it needs to get done next. So a lot of the interaction, I think, will be optimized. And it'll be a lot more accurate. It'll be even better for your prospects and clients, right? The, you know, getting in contact with you, it might be hard, but now there's 100% 24/7, you know, support service that they're able to get, know exactly what's going on. A lot of that will be cleaned up. I think, yeah, interactions will be kind of optimized. And then on the back end, internally, again, a lot of the drafting and a lot of the information collection and document collection, I think, will also be optimized internally.
So basically, we will see the first fully automated law firms emerge. And I just want to ask you before time is up here, what specifically, I mean, I think you already said what that looks like, right? Pretty much all facets from marketing to intake to operations are completely automated. They're not requiring any human input. At that point, what is a lawyer doing?
Running the business. and yes, you know, there's still some lawyers are going to be doing legal and, you know, stuff. Yes, you still have to show up to court to make your appearances, do the mediations, all that stuff. This is not to take away from any of that. But a lot of transactional law firms will be disrupted. You know, a lot of the legal work on the back end, especially things that are very templatized, that are kind of repetitive. Will be thing again. There's always nuances. Depends on what practice types, but little by little, starting off with the transactional legal services, and over time, we'll see how this kind of pans out.
Sam, this was super insightful. I really appreciate your time and perspective. How can our listeners learn more about you and get in touch with you?
So, if you're a lawyer who is looking to generate either more clients, you're looking to automate your law firm, you're looking to bring AI into your practice, and you're looking to kind of be an early adopter of a lot of things that we shared, I have a program called My Legal Academy that helps lawyers implement all these things. Our thing is it's a done with you, where you own all the assets, you own everything, but we just have implementers. These are like just specialized people who know how to set up your marketing, help you with automations and everything that I mentioned with you. It's a proven kind of framework. We've been doing it for 4 or 5 years over 1,300 law firms have joined our program over the years. And yeah, we look forward to helping you inside the program.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Sam. And thank you to all our listeners who tuned in today. We'll see you next time for another episode.
That's the Law Entrepreneur for today. I'm Sam Malai. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe to The Law Entrepreneur for more legal content and practical growth plays.